Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
For those listening on the radio, allow me to introduce our hymns and our divine service setting for this month, which is beginning on page 203 of the hymnal. The opening hymn, 564, Christ Sits at God's Right Hand, which is also our hymn of the month. The hymn of the day, 906, O Day of Rest and Gladness. Distribution hymns 566, By Grace I'm Saved, 619, Thy Body Given for Me, O Savior, 913, O Holy Spirit, Enter In, and our closing hymn 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. No other announcements, although I won't be preaching on the Old Testament or Gospel readings today, which are focused on the third commandment, the Sabbath, but I did right on that in the parish life. So those should be in your cubbyhole, and I'll mention that in the sermon. But let's begin with our opening hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the introit printed on your insert.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is our true Sabbath rest. Help us to keep each day holy by receiving his word of comfort, that we may find our rest in him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. We sing the gradual printed on your insert. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the second chapter. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise.
To Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God. Amen. Please be seated for our hymn of the day. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus Christ is Lord. This truth will stand forever. You and I know this, and we live in this reality, but many in the world do not. Some because they've never heard this. Some because they will not or cannot believe it. And God has entrusted this message, this good news that Jesus Christ is Lord to us. We are his servants. We, who Christ himself has rescued from Satan, from sin, from death, we are privileged to live under him, our good Lord, under his care and protection. So we carry this message of Jesus Christ as Lord with us wherever we go. But we are no match for the opposition. We're no match for the forces that oppose Jesus Christ as Lord. These opposing forces are powerful. As we read in Ephesians, the forces that we wrestle against are the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Compared to them, we're insignificant and weak compared to these cosmic powers. So why would the Lord entrust this life-giving message that Jesus Christ is Lord? Why would he entrust it to us, insignificant ones? Paul explains it very simply. It's to show that the surpassing power belongs to God, not to us. He uses the image of treasure and jars of clay to make that point. The jars of clay are fragile, easily broken. The value of the clay jar is what it can carry, not the jar itself. The jar itself is not worth much, but the treasure it carries, especially in this case, is of immense value and also great power. God doesn't want anybody to be misled to think that his power depends on the ones who carry it. It's his power, the salvation for all who believe. So God entrusts us to carry this treasure in the world, a world that could and would easily destroy us if God were to permit it to do so. And we are made aware of this in our afflictions. Christians are not immune from afflictions. We live in this fallen world. We experience the effects of the fall. We suffer physical afflictions, sickness, injury, the effects of old age. We suffer financial afflictions, the struggle to make money, to pay the bills. By the sweat of our brow, we need to provide for our families to keep a roof over our heads. We also struggle to support our church so that we can continue to gather and to regularly hear God's word and receive his sacraments so that the Lord may continue to nurture and sustain us as he's promised to do. We suffer mental and emotional afflictions, living with the stresses of life, living in the fallen world. And so we struggle to remain faithful to the Lord and his will, to hold on to his promises and in the face of uncertain circumstances, in the face of unexpected events. We don't deny the realities of these afflictions. It is specifically for these afflictions that Christ came into the world, and he's familiar with them. He's familiar with all of your afflictions. He endured them. He endured the physical, the financial, the mental, the emotional afflictions of real life in the fallen world. He suffered to the point of death, even death on the cross, to relieve you of an eternity of afflictions. As one baptized into Christ, you now share in the suffering of Christ. And you carry in your body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in you. You live in Christ, and he lives in you. And God is revealing the life of Christ through you. He's revealed to the world through your life of faith during afflictions. God also reveals the life of Christ through you when you are perplexed. And life in this world is perplexing. There are so many voices, so many opinions, so much happening. We are inundated with more information and more images and more commentary than we can take in and sort out, and who can make sense of it all? What's important and what's not? What is true and what's not? And what are we supposed to do? We see the culture in moral decline. We see church and Bible study attendance here in decline. We wonder, what happened? What happened to the members who used to come more regularly? What happened to the young men and women who we saw confirmed here? Is God given up on us? Should we despair? No. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. And Jesus and his church are here, as promised, where we gather in his name, where his word is proclaimed, where his sacraments are administered in the way that he told us. In a perplexing world, Jesus is, as he always has been, the way, the truth, and the life. We gather here where Jesus calls us, where he forgives our sins, where he cleanses us from unrighteousness, where he settles us, and we enter into his rest. Because there are others who are perplexed in this world, not knowing the truth, not knowing forgiveness, not knowing true rest, it's been entrusted to you that you may do good and live a righteous life. And this is contrary to the world. Peter speaks about this. He says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. In the midst of a perplexing world, we are to be prepared to tell others about the hope that they see in us. Yes, they will see it and hear it. And we're also to be prepared to suffer for doing good. Doing good, living under our Lord according to his will. Peter reminds us that this suffering for doing good will only happen if God's willing it to do that. And this is the life of a Christian who carries in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. So he does will it. St. Paul wrote to Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You will experience persecution. It happens in various ways because you do desire to live a godly life. And so it happens in school, at work, among your family and relatives. People may avoid you. They may dismiss you as your views are being out of touch or naive or old-fashioned or worse. You may experience hostility when you speak up for what is true, what is good, what is right. When you speak up for the life of an unborn child. When you're simply speaking up for living according to God's commandments. Especially when it's contrary to what they believe, the way they want to live. And you will especially experience persecution when you tell people that Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ is Lord. And yes, you can expect to get struck down, as Paul also speaks and tells the church in Corinth, "Now, today you may only be struck down verbally. You'll hear some cut down in words, maybe at work or school, or maybe in social media. You'll be cut down by an acquaintance, a family member, maybe even somebody you don't know. Next week you might be struck down with a job loss or a loss of privilege. As we anticipate history repeating itself, there will come a time again when Christians will be struck down in more severe ways. But we will not be destroyed. That's God's promise. Paul himself lived through real and severe afflictions, perplexity, persecution, and being struck down. When he wrote to the church in Corinth, he wrote to encourage and strengthen their faith because of the certain hope we have in Christ Jesus. In the reality of what they were experiencing, Jesus himself gave himself over to those who would afflict, persecute, and strike him down, that he may ransom the church through his death on the cross. And he won the victory at the cross. He rose from the dead, never to die again. Death has no hold on him. Satan has been defeated. Sin, your sin, has been atoned for. He ascended to the right hand of God as Lord of Lords, all power and authority given to him, placed under his feet. In your baptism, he assures you that you are in him and he is in you. And Paul's message is one of godly defiance in the face of the overwhelming forces that oppose the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is a word of encouragement because the church belongs to Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who was there in the beginning when God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." And God has shown in your hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You and I have this treasure. We are but jars of clay. We're no match for the forces that oppose Jesus as Lord. But what we proclaim is not ourselves. There's surpassing power that has overcome the world and the power of the devil. It belongs to God, not to us. So in defiance to the opposition and in thanks to God for the privilege, we boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of all light and power, you shine upon your creatures and eradicate all darkness that lies within them. Destroy the darkness our sin has caused in our lives. Help us to shine the light of your grace and truth. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, you have gathered your church and sanctified us in your truth. Guide and direct Matthew, our Synod President, Duane, our District President, and Jeffrey, our Circuit Visitor. Preserve all vacant congregations. Send laborers into your harvest and sustain those whom you have sent. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the fields and orchards with good weather, that all people may be well supplied and filled with an awareness of your mercies. Grant that we may show forth grateful and generous hearts within your church and in the world around us. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have established all authorities on the earth. Bless all public servants, especially Joseph, our president, and Tony, our governor, that they would fulfill their offices with wisdom and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, be the strength and song of those who are afflicted in body or mind, especially Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lois, Joanne, Mark, Lewis, Arlene, Marlis, Tim, Ruth, Lacey, Bernard, Linda, Mike, Marlene, Doris, Arlene, Michael, Carol, Mark, Alexis, Nancy, Sarah, Kara, Marlis, Erno, Ben, as well as all who suffer in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, give repentance and faith to all receive our Lord's body and blood today, that in the unity of a true confession they may receive it for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You may be seated as we collect the offering. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children. But
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.